eliminates the calorie burning effect, and don't drink more than 3 cups a day of coffee. Next, does blotting oil off your pizza cut down on calories? A little. Blotting a medium slice of cheese pizza can remove 45 calories, but if you really want healthier pizza, skip the meat and order thin crust with extra veggies and half the cheese. One more. Exercising on an empty stomach burns more fat? True, but you won't be able to work out as hard. Volunteers who ate a 200-calorie mini-meal half an hour before their workout were able to exercise 16% longer. I'm John Tesh with today's Intelligence for Your Life Minute.
If you mop off the grease off the pizza, half the fun is the grease. You can hear much more of John Tesh. In fact, his entire program coming up this evening at 6 o'clock following the Sweet Lou Turner quality effort that will be heard at 2 o'clock right here on WRJN. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, Glenn Klein, along with my tag team partner on these community conversations, Mark Eichhorst, and he is the Democratic Assembly Leader of the mighty 64th Assembly District. Please welcome back to WRJN, Representative Peter Barca. Good morning, Mr. Leader.
Good morning, Glenn. Great to be on the line with you this morning.
Great to have you. Where are you this morning?
I'm at Carthage College. We have a huge meeting here today on the dark fiber network. This is a follow-up meeting to one that we had about a year ago, analyzing the IT needs of the region. In fact, the Midwest Fiber Network will be here, the WISNet Association, a lot of the public and private sector leaders in the area. So looking forward to the meeting, and hopefully we can make some good progress looking at our long-term IT needs for the region.
Well, we know that our state highways are in a mess. How's our information highway in the state?
Down in southeastern Wisconsin, actually pretty good. We have that dark fiber network, which is extremely high speed, and it's working well for us in this region. Now, of course, statewide, not so good. Obviously, one of the huge issues of the session that unfortunately is not addressed in any meaningful way whatsoever is the whole broadband issue. So many parts of northern Wisconsin, you cannot get any connectivity at all. I know when I talk to my colleagues, even driving in from up north, halfway through you lose calls. And unfortunately, as you know, Governor Walker turned down roughly $25 million from the federal government in his first year or two in office. So we haven't fully recovered from that, and there just have not been any major investments made. We tried on the floor, the Democrats had amendments, to try and replace that $24 million, and unfortunately we couldn't get much cooperation by our GOP partners.
You guys have got to be chomping at the bit for November's election. Marquette University came out with a poll yesterday. Donald Trump is significantly down to your party's presumptive presidential nominee, Hillary Clinton. Governor Walker's approval is down. Ron Johnson's numbers are down to Russ Feingold. How do you guys not blow this?
Well, we're pretty enthused. There's no question about it. I was in D.C. last week, and Charlie Cook from the Fain Cook Report, who's a major political prognosticator, came forward and said, you know, this is the year you want to wear the blue jersey. He said, after three cycles of having a red jersey be predominant, this year it's swinging back the other way.
Obviously,
very enthused about it. Obviously, the Republicans have overstepped at every turn. People are very dissatisfied. The majority of the people think Wisconsin's going in the wrong direction, and they're right. And that's why I think you're going to see the tide turn the Democratic way this time. I think people are going to do a course correction here and send a message that they do not like that the Republicans do not address issues like infrastructure, that when we're dead last in the West in jobs since the governor's taken office, and not having any plan to do anything about it is unacceptable.
What color curtains are you planning for the speaker's office?
Well, I don't know if the wave will be quite that large, but if it is, I'll be much more worried about tackling the issues that really matter to the people of Wisconsin. I mean, it is just a shame, frankly. I mean, third highest student debt in the nation. Again, Republicans did virtually nothing on that topic. We have the largest shrinking middle class, and they passed bills like right to work and bills like prevailing wage, which we know will hurt the middle class even further. So those are the issues I'll be tackling, are the issues that, you know, I think will move Wisconsin back and in the direction of being focused on issues that people care about.
Obviously, you want the blue team to win. That's your party. But it's got to be a little bit disconcerting, even as a Democrat, to see what is happening at the head of the ticket in the Republicans. I mean, that is, we are literally watching an insane man destroy a major political party in this country.
Well, I have to tell you, I share those sentiments. It's just hard to imagine, to some degree, the kind of comments that he makes. They're very destructive, they're very divisive, and certainly it's something we've never seen before.
Nope, we've never seen this before. Ever. Now, it may have happened before there was radio and television and recordings, but literally we have never seen anything like this. If you were a Republican, and a good Republican, a solid Republican, a reasonable Republican, if you were a guy like Paul Ryan, for example, what would you do?
Well, okay, if I were him, I would never have come forward and endorsed him. I think it was a huge mistake. I think he had his instincts were right from the beginning when he said that, you know, that he could not support the ticket at that point, that he wanted to see some significant changes in the way Trump conducted himself and in terms of the issues he was bringing forward. And he never saw those, but he endorsed them anyway. So, in fact, it kind of looked bad for Paul because when he actually endorsed them was the same day or the day after he said that he would support Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell as Republican leaders. I mean, it almost looked like he was more worried about, you know, having support himself than he was for the agenda and the way Mr. Trump conducts himself. Now, I don't know that that's what he intended, but that was sort of the appearance of it. But I think he's a huge mistake. I just think that, you know, he's proven and the people are responding in a manner that they are backing away from this guy.
If I was a Republican and a Republican leader, which I'm not, I'm not a Republican, I'm not a Democrat, I'm independent. But if I was, I would completely separate myself from Donald Trump, not go to the Republican National Convention. I guess Ryan's Priebus has to go because right. He's the chairman, and say, we are going to run on actual Republican principles, and we completely separate ourselves from how he behaves, what he says. Here is what we are going to run on, whether it be in Wisconsin or any other state in the union. Otherwise, it is going to be a complete and utter whitewash in November. And, you know, I really believe in competition. And it's looking like right now that Donald Trump is purposely sabotaging his campaign. We see people all the time in life sabotage their own lives for whatever psychological reason. But he's going to take half the country down with him. It's incredible.
Well, I mean, I think, obviously, he has a problem. I think Richard Nixon suffered from being sort of a megalomaniac and just being so self-centered and worried about himself.
Nixon resigned when Howard Baker famously came to the White House with a bunch of Republican senators and said, "Mr. President, you got to go." He left.
And, well, good point. At what point does Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell and Reince Priebus waltz over to the Trump Towers and just say, this is not working? You just are not the right person to carry our party banner. And unfortunately, while it's true that you did secure the requisite number of delegates, everything you've done since then has been to embarrass our party and to make our nation weaker, frankly. I mean, the things he is saying truly will hurt national security in this country.
He is Democratic Assembly Leader Peter Barca from the 64th Assembly District here in Wisconsin. This is Glenn Klein along with Mark Eichhorst on WRJN. The amazing thing is that Hillary could still get indicted. Could you imagine if that happened on top of everything else?
I think there's virtually no chance whatsoever of that occurring. You know, I've heard many people who have served in those capacities before, much like Scott Walker, who many people thought would be indicted. Usually a time passes when you're too close to the election, and even if you question whether there's something there, which I personally do not think there is, based on all the evidence I've seen, you know, it appears she's conducted herself much in the same way that Colin Powell did. And I know you differ on that, and I respect that, but I'm telling you, I think there is virtually no chance whatsoever that that could happen.
Well, let's get into the mind of our Governor Scott Walker, for a second, because you've called for a summit and an emergency session on jobs. We have now we are the last state in the Midwest in job creation. Obviously, something that is near and dear to my heart is the transportation problem in this state, because I travel up and back to the North Woods all the time. The roads are an absolute disaster. We're cutting funds for what has been one of the most outstanding university systems in the country. What do you think he's up to, and why?
Well, for whatever reason, you know, he thought from the beginning he would sort of ride that right-wing Tea Party-type agenda into 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. What is startling to me is when he found out that didn't work, and that the governor, the last governor standing, actually took a more centrist approach on some issues, certainly a true conservative, John Kasich. I served with him in the Congress, and he's a bright, capable guy. But he took the money for, you know, the Badger Care expansion because he knew his people needed it. He knew fiscally it made sense. He's done things like infrastructure development that our governor absolutely will not do. And it is remarkable to some degree for a guy that ran making jobs at the centerpiece of his agenda that he's just failed abysmally. We are in the bottom third. The reason why I call for a summit followed by a special session is there's no agenda there. He has no proposals whatsoever that are going to move the needle at all. And this past session was a wasted session. They did virtually nothing on jobs or rebuilding the middle class. It's an embarrassment. Instead, they passed things like getting rid of the GAB and making politicians so that they're exempt from John Doe while all the other people are. And it's just, that's why I think they're hurting so badly in the polls. But I didn't call for, you know, this summit, a special session, for no reason. I set a goal that our governor refuses to recognize. And that goal is we're in the bottom third in jobs. We have been ever since he took the oath of office. I said, let's set a goal that in 1 year, we'll go from the bottom third to the top third. Now, I believe our goal should be in the top 10. But realistically, at least let's try to climb out of the bottom third. And the only way you're going to do that is if, in fact, you have an agenda. And obviously, he doesn't want to take the Democratic agenda, which I can understand to some degree, although I don't think these are partisan issues. But let's bring in experts. Let's bring in people from other states who have had success. Let's bring in business experts, economic development experts, some of which are right here in the state. And let's come up with a plan that could move the needle. We're in the bottom third. I'm tired of being in the bottom third. I'm tired of being dead last in the Midwest, as we've been since he took the oath of office. And it's just wrong.
It's really remarkable when you think about it. I mean, it seems like most of his energy was spent on the recall and the protests that went up there, and then eventually on running for president, and he's got nothing left in the tank.
It does appear to be that. That appears to be the case, Glenn. I'll grant you that. It does seem like he just, other than showing up at major events that he has to be at, I mean, there's really just no energy, no ideas, no vibrancy. And maybe that's it. Maybe he just has no energy left in the tank, and it could be the case. But, you know, if he wants to continue to be governor, because he's hinted at a third term, I can't imagine he'd have any chances. Approval ratings are, you know, well below 40%.
Well, you guys are going to get gains, there's no doubt, in the fall, the Democrats here in Wisconsin. The one thing that happens all the time is when the pendulum is so extreme on the one side, a lot of times the other side feels like they have to bring and swing the pendulum all the way over on the other side to bring it towards center. Is there any chance that you guys might like do something different and reach out to Republicans and try to find common sense bipartisan solutions?
Well, I would pledge this right now. If by some chance the waves blow as big as what they potentially could blow, and it blew us into the majority and I was a speaker, I would definitely reach out to Republicans, not just on some of these narrow issues like Speaker Voss has done, like Alzheimer's, which is good. No, nothing against mental health. Those are good things. But on the major issues that really count, like how could we rebuild our middle class? How can we make sure that you know, we have a vibrant jobs agenda and help produce and support the entrepreneurs of this state. Things that really matter to people when they sit around the dining room table. I mean, you know, we can't continue to have the most diminished middle class in the country. It's a strong, vibrant middle class that made America and Wisconsin the economic envy of the world. And so I would do that. Now, I'm not saying we can always agree. Obviously, that's not possible. But at least the effort would be there on the major issues, not just on these narrower issues that they've reached out on.
He is Assembly Democratic Leader Peter Barca from the mighty 64th District, our representative in the Kenosha area at Carthage College today. You know what the Carthage College mascot is?
It's the Reds. It was a Red Men. I think they now are just the Reds, so far as I understand. And anyway, I apologize, but we've got a 10 o'clock meeting here I have to go to. But Carthage is just a great institution, and we're fortunate to have Carthage and Parkside and Gateway Technical College in the Racine-Kenosha area here. And that's one of the things that makes our area so special. And I love your introduction. That's what makes it the mighty 64th, because I get to represent both Kenosha, greater Kenosha, and the greater Racine area.
Well, we really appreciate your time. And go Reds, go Wisconsin, and have a great meeting. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Glenn.
Your radio friend is AM 1400 WRJN, Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee. A Magnum.media station.
On this Throwback Thursday morning, WRJN covers the world at 10:01.
ISIS branching out. They found the black box. I'm Evan Haining. CIA Director John Brennan told the Senate Intelligence